World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, got a lot on my heart today. A lot going on. Where did that term come from? A lot on my heart. Why it lays heavy on my heart. What does that mean? See, I think the heart is the center of the conscience, isn't it? For those of you who don't know, I didn't mean for that to sound so condescending. Man's three parts: body, soul, and spirit. And the soul man is made up of three parts: your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, your mind is your ability to think. Your mind is your ability to think and reason and follow instructions and guidelines. Your mind, your will is, how are you going to respond with what your mind just went through? How do you respond? So you got your mind, you got your will, and then the emotions. And the easiest of all of those to control is your emotions. If they can show you a picture of a starving baby, and you send them money, right? And so that's why in the whole abortion debate, they don't want you showing the pictures of the murdered babies, because that might get your conscience, touch your conscience. So your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's who you are. It's what makes you what you are. And since man, the heart of man, without the Holy Spirit, is unrestrained for evil, we find ourselves in the mess that we're in. And the theme of the show is and has and always will continue to be, the solution to the problem is Almighty God, Jesus Christ, and the church. It has never changed. It's not republicanism. It's not democratism. It isn't any of that stuff. It's all, will we decide, and how will we decide, and what does it look like to be the salt of the earth? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Spencer, see if you can pull that real quickly. Bear with me, folks. We're going to take communion here, and we're going to get into Scott Shar. You don't want to go away. Matthew chapter 5. Say, well, Coach, you talk about the same stuff all the time. Yeah, yep. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. I've showed you this before. Some of you still don't get it. He did not preach to everybody at the bottom of the mountain. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to the mountain. He saw all the crowds. He wasn't a crowd pleaser. He went up. He got away from the crowd. He got away from the crowd. He brought his boys to him. Right? Because we have to be very careful of peers, juries, approval of men. Hang on, I just got to. Scott Shard just texted me. He's going to be with us Tuesday. Bear with me a second. He's going to join us Tuesday morning. Scott Shard will be with us 7 a.m. Tuesday morning. Can't imagine that guy's heart. He opened his mouth and he taught them. So, folks, he didn't teach everybody. He didn't go on CBS and NBC, and he didn't go on CNN. He didn't go on. He didn't do that. He taught his disciples to go teach the people. He said, bless the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I could do a month talking about the kingdom of heaven, and that we don't even understand the kingdom of heaven is here and within us right now. It's not where we're going. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they, which do, by the way, meek doesn't mean get walked over. It means a picture of a controlled stallion. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy follows justice. Blessed are the merciful, because justice has been declared. Then mercy follows. There ain't no mercy without justice. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children, not the peacekeepers, the peacemakers. Not the same thing, boys and girls. The peacemaker is my mom saying, wait till your father gets home and he shows up. He be the peacemaker. Mom spent all day trying to be the peacekeeper, keeping us from killing each other. And then she realized she couldn't do it. And she just said those words, boys, wait till your daddy gets home. There came the peacemaker. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you. See if you can find the all-encompassing, loving Jesus, loved everybody Jesus in this diatribe that he's given to his people. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for me. Rejoice, be seen and glad. For great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted prophets were before you. You are the salt of the earth. The salt loses its savor. When the salt stops being salt, how can it be salty again? It's thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and thrown under the foot of men. You, brothers and sisters of Christ, you're the light of the world, not the Republican Party. The Republican Party, not the Donald Trump. He ain't the light of the world. Not Jim Jordan. You are the light of the world. City set on a hill cannot be hid. Men don't take their faith like a candle and hide it under. They don't hide it under a bushel. They don't take it in their house and put it in a closet. Put it on a candlestick. And they show up at the state house. And they show up at city council meetings. They show up at school board meetings. And they bring light. They give light unto all that are in the house. And so let your light so shine before men that they're going to see your good works. I thought we're not supposed to have good works. When they see your good works, it glorifies your Father, which is in heaven. Wow. Shame on us. Shame on the church. Shame on the church for making Christianity about healthy, wealthy, and wise. Poor Richard's Almanac. That ain't the Bible, folks. That ain't the Bible. It's poor Richard's Almanac. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. Not the Bible. The Bible calls you to come and die. Come and die to yourself. Lay down your life. That's what it calls it to do. And not many of us do it. It's hard. We're going to take communion. Be ready here. Boy, I got so much bubbling inside of me. Let me say this before we go any further. Not guilty and innocent are not the same.
Boom.
Benny, that was a boom. Everybody missed that one.
Ba-boom.
Not guilty and innocent are not the same thing. Let me say, I get it. I want to plant this in your head too. My neighbor isn't my peer. When I go to court of law, I want my peers there. And who are my peers? Not just some old guy that happens to live across the street and mows his grass with the mower. That ain't my peer. No, he's a peer under the law in that he gets the same benefits I get. We're peers there. When we step into a courtroom, that guy ain't my peer. Because I have a Christian worldview and he has an anti-Christian or non-Christian worldview. He has no business. Scott Shar should have stood up to that jury and said, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? They don't even use the same value system. Scott, Shara, anybody, when you go into court, you can't demand Christians on your jury. Those are your peers. Huh? That beer drinking, cussing, carousing, dope smoking guy that goes to work, that ain't your peer. And so what we saw yesterday again is Lucifer snuck in. He's changed all the rules on us. Changed all the rules right in front of Christians. Changed all the daggone rules. He said, well, he got a fair trial of the jury of his peers. Does anybody have any idea what was going on in the minds of those jurors? Were they able, from a Christian perspective, to base judgment on Christian values and Christian principles? See, we don't even know what a peer is. Most of you guys are my peers. I think most of you are my peers. I'll be daggone if I want to go down to the local bar. How about this? Or the local government office, and let them bring some secretary out to jury duty and be my peer. No, thank you. No, thank you. We were designed to be a Christian nation. We were a Christian nation. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But then it doesn't apply anymore because there's a separation between the church and the state. Get it? I've got a lot to share. Scott Sherrill will be here on Tuesday. Can't imagine what he feels. I'll show you this. I'll shut up. Joe, let's take us through communion here. Just a real quick prayer, and let's go on with it, man. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Well, our reading today, this morning, is from 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Amen.
Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
That's who I want on my trial. That's who I want on my jury. Those people right there. I don't want those other people. They're not my peers. Go ahead.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Heavenly Father, we come to you again with gratitude in our hearts from different parts of this great nation that you've seen fit to have us here. We are grateful for it, Lord, but it is not the nation we grew up in. It has changed. It is struggling. It is trying to find its roots again. And we here on this call also long for righteousness and justice. And that which we grew up with seems to be absent, Lord. So we pray that you bring this back into our system, that you bring true justice, juries, peers back into the system, Lord. that you purge the system of those who knowingly, consciously are against you and what you stand for, and for those who believe and serve you. And Lord, here at my church this weekend, we're having a huge global event against child trafficking. Full security, everything. We pray, Lord, that the security is tight and nothing unwanted comes in, and only the cause is put forward and it is successful, and there's no negative intervention, no violence, no unwanted acts of the enemy. And Lord, we remember communion. That's why we're here right now. Yes, you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for us 2,000 years ago. And we're grateful that we worship the only true God, who, and the God who gave his only begotten Son for us who believe in him may have everlasting life and not perish. It's, we cannot fathom that. And we ask you, Lord, to remind us this can be the meal that heals anybody's soul, spirit, or body needing healing. Let them receive it with act of communion. And we ask you, forgive our sins and transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight, for this is a holy moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The same night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate your faithfulness, brother. Get up every Friday and come in and do this. I'm not frozen, I'm thinking. Just thinking. Let me get Dr. Paul in here real quick. Dr. Paul, from a medical standpoint, I mean, I don't know if you watched the whole thing. I didn't watch the whole thing. And folks, hang on, we're not gonna talk about this the whole time. Bear with me a second. What's your reaction, Dr. Paul, to what you said yesterday? To what we saw, the verdict that came down. How could that possibly be, Paul? Do you have any? You sent me an email. I'm gonna throw that up on the screen. Qualified immunity for murderous physicians. Spencer, can you throw that up on the screen? Paul, come on in. Talk about this a minute.
I can only talk in terms of how my experience. Qualified immunity is what they use for cops who shoot somebody unjustly. And I know a lot about that. Seen it in medicine since the beginning. And I've said it from the beginning, Coach. It's about the sanctity of life. I mean, people just equate, they don't have God. Their God is medicine, right?
Yes.
$2.1 trillion on the PrEP Act, right? I mean, it's just like the Bible just keeps going over and over again, the same thing. We're fighting all these kings, these governors who dictated the standards of care.
And Paul, hang on a second. The Hippocratic Oath says what? First, do no harm, right? Does that still apply, Paul?
Well, the Constitution should apply. life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Amen.
I mean, that's not the Constitution, but you know what I'm getting at. To me, I'm just brokenhearted. But I also, you know, when I texted Scott this morning, he came up and he said his ways are not our ways. Maybe this goes to the Supreme Court, right? Maybe this, you keep just pushing this. And maybe that's what we got to remember here.
But Paul, here's what I want to get at. The obligation of the physician is first and foremost not to do any harm. They're not there to manage the death of someone. Their job is, from a moral standpoint, is to do everything they can to enhance and improve life. Would that be fair to say, Paul?
Yeah, ideally. But that's not what it is. It's to make money for the hospital. It's always been that way, Coach.
Yep.
Since I was a since I worked in the military, you know, running the largest orthopedic trauma center in the world as a, you know, punk kid, 19 years old.
Paul, without casting any aspersions or making anything up, could it be possible that the hospital authorities, whatever that would be, they were overburdened, a lot of patients coming in, out of space? Could a decision been made somewhere where somebody says, hey, listen, let's try to save the ones that we can save? Would an order of that kind have come down, Paul?
It could, but it depends on the people following that order.
I mean,
this is a wonderful child of God sitting there, and you killed them. And you know, I know what the juries were thinking. They've got cognitive dissonance. I mean, they still rely on medicine.
They've been programmed of how good doctors are and how good medicine nobody would ever hurt you, right?
Remember, though, Coach, transgender surgeries, you know, suicide by doctor, abortion. I mean, there's more death associated with this death cult called medicine than you can ever imagine. It's power.
So the hospital organization, Paul, won't even stand up and defend unborn babies.
Of course not. Of course not. I mean, I'm just sick, and then I unfortunately get emotional these days for a lot of reasons. But I'm pissed, and maybe we should start, you know, naming names. Name that doctor's name. Name that nurse's name. Stop hiding behind Ascension Hospital.
Right, yeah, that's right.
I'm naming these abortion baby killers.
Hey, Paul, how many? I mean, you can't answer this question, folks. I want you to think about this. Why do you go? Do you know whether or not your doctor is a Christian? Have you ever asked him that? And why would you ever? Any of us? Why would we ever let a non-Christian prescribe life-saving measures to us? Why would anybody ever do that? Including me. You go to a doctor, you don't know whether the doctor thinks your life has value.
I kicked you out of the office, Coach, remember?
Yep.
You couldn't afford the medication, and he kicked you out of the office. He doesn't care about you.
Yep, if you don't take this, you can't be my patient.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Coach. That just infuriates.
Kind of where it is, right? So we have a Christless medical monopoly, do we not, Paul? It's godless, Christless morale.
They give them immunity during COVID. And that's what we have to never forget that, Coach. We got to keep pushing that. This can't happen again. If it happens again, we're done.
God bless you, Paul. Yeah. God bless you, man. God bless you. I'm going to open it up here in a second. I got a couple things I got to show you. First of all, you got to get well. Pull up number two. Well, number two, I think it's important we begin to understand. What's a jury of yours? If I was going to right now go hang out with some of my peers, who would that be? I'd get hold of Glenn, because he's close. I'd get hold of Glenn and Jeff Klein and Tom Gill. And I'd get people around. I'd go to people. I'd call in Todd Henry. I'd get people around me who agree with me, and that they would give me good, godly counsel. Why would I go to the heathen? Why would I go hire some ungodly, atheistic attorney? Why would I do that? Because the ungodly, atheistic attorney, remember the old joke, no honor among thieves? He swims well in those rivers. Why does he swim well in those rivers? Because he hides behind the law, not right and wrong. Folks, did you get what I said? The fact that that jury declared that hospital not guilty doesn't make them not guilty. You understand that, don't you? That's what we're dealing with. What's a jury of your peers? A jury of your peers. You ever end up in court and you have to have a jury of your peers? You know nothing about them. All we have jury selection, where the jury tries to go in there and find out what they really believe. But a juror could lie. A juror could hold back what they really, really believe. Here's what I think. Well, doesn't matter what I think. All of these, what's the word I'm looking for? Standards that we have put up with in American political, cultural, legal life, they're all gone, friends. They're all gone. The idea of a jury of your peers, that's all gone. Equal justice under the law. Look, that's all gone. It's all gone. Not in God's kingdom. Luckily, we're all attached to God's kingdom. But in this evil culture and society in which we live, where they declared that there was a separation between the church and state, in other words, where God's laws no longer apply, whose laws do? When God's laws no longer apply, does it become the law of the jungle? And so the guy that gets the best attorney, the best lying, the best conniving, the sneakiest attorney, that guy wins? Equal justice under the law is an illusion. I got to show you this. I know some of you want to get in there. Pull up Spencer for me. Number one, Scott. Put it at 1.5 speed. Scott's going to be with us Tuesday. I just verified that. Folks, I want you to listen to the Christian response of this godly man. How much money did he spend? Anybody have any idea how much money he spent?
Supposedly like $1.5 million.
To get this rotten, rotten verdict? Listen to his response. Go ahead.
Okay, what is your reaction to the verdict?
Well, personally, of course, I'm disappointed. But, you know, God knew this was going to, he knew the verdict before we ever stepped one foot in this court. So we know God's will was done. Even though we're personally disappointed. And my best buddy, Grace, she would have said, it's just perfect. She would have said, God did it, Dad, and he did do it. You know, we're the first COVID case in the entire country that made it to jury trial. And so God did do it. And that's exactly how Grace would have said. It's a miracle.
But it wasn't a COVID death case.
It wasn't, yeah. I should have said that. So it says on Grace's death certificate that she died of acute respiratory failure with hypoxemia as a result of COVID-19 pneumonia. And one of the only things, you know, a big picture, I wanted repentance out of this lawsuit. And so if the individual doctor and nurse who were responsible for Grace's death repent, we won. Outside of
slow
that, personally,
down.
I only wanted the death certificate changed. Yeah, so
slow down. This is worth hearing.
Result of COVID-19
go
pneumonia.
Go back about 30 seconds.
And
go back about
one of the only
seconds.
Things, you know, that she died of acute respiratory failure with hypoxemia as a result of COVID-19 pneumonia. And one of the only things, you know, a big picture, I wanted repentance out of this lawsuit. And so if the individual doctor and nurse who were responsible for Grace's death repent, we won. Outside of that, personally, I only wanted the death certificate changed. Yeah, so what should the death certificate say? It should say overdose as a result of Presidex, lorazepam, and morphine as a result of an illegal do not resuscitate order. That's what the death certificate should say.
Wow, is that something? Freeze it. You understand that? You understand it? That the death certificate is made up. That is not what killed Grace. She didn't die from COVID or the effects of COVID. She didn't. She was poisoned to death. He said he just wants a death certificate to tell the truth. Keep going.
What are some of the emotions right now? It's a difficult day for you guys. What are some of the emotions?
You two have some comments?
We just bawled our eyes out. We're sad, but at the same time, we know that God is going to use this. He's already used it because it's been live streamed. There are millions of people that have heard Grace's story. They know what went on behind those doors in the hospital. There are a million people that lost their lives during the COVID narrative. And people were put down using the same drugs that Grace was put down with. Some of them have different names. Some of them were, instead of lorazepam, it was midazolam. Instead of morphine, it was fentanyl. Instead of Presidex, it was zirconium bromide and other drugs.
Folks, they give us medicines that we can't even pronounce. Pharmakia that we can't even pronounce.
Boom.
Keep going.
People. If people haven't woken up and found that out yet, God is going to expose that as well. Remdesivir was deemed as a run death as near drug because it was shutting people's kidneys down. So God is going to use Grace's story. It's not over. He is a good God. He's a loving God, and he is using Grace, and he will continue to use Grace and her story, what happened to her. In the days ahead, we are trusting him. We're putting our faith in him. And all the people that have been here to support us, we are so very grateful because there are so many people here that know the truth. They know what these doctors and these nurses did behind these doors. God saw what they did. They're not going to get away with it. They will have to face their maker someday. We know that. And so we are not defeated. We are grateful that God chose us and chose our little girl, Grace, to be the face behind this whole evil agenda. And that's what we're going to hold on to. And as I said, Holly McGinnis and Dr. Gavin Shokhar, they know exactly what they did. And they're the ones that are going to have to live with it. They're the ones that are going to have to face God someday, and he will punish them. God is a God of justice. And we know that they will be punished.
You know, a courtroom is not where, you know, people think this is where you go to get justice. This is not where you go to get justice. And we knew that going into it. But God opened up this door for a lawsuit.
The courtroom is not where we get justice.
We walked through it. And, you know, we're here today. And so, you know, personally, of course, I'm disappointed. But that wasn't the goal. The goal is to whatever God needed in this courtroom to happen, that's what our job was. And we left it all on the battlefield. That's all I cared about. We worked so hard. I've never worked this hard on anything in my life. We worked so hard, we left it all on the battlefield. And that was the responsibility, not to win or lose, but just leave it all on the battlefield. And we did that. And in this system, this court system, which is man's system, we lost. But that's not God's system. So, you know, we're thankful to be used, and we're humbled to be used. You know, we know that we've been called under Genesis 50:20, which says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, the saving of many lives, which is happening today. And my best buddy, Grace, she has saved lots of lives already. I mean, I'm getting calls and emails all the time because of becoming an outspoken advocate. And it's a blessing to be able to be used to save people's lives in honor of Grace. Grace did not die in vain. And so I'm just happy to be here today. It's disappointing, but it's still wonderful to be here.
Put it in the chat. Put the rest of that in the chat. I mean, folks, this is worth watching. This is worth watching. Here's what I want you to think about. We should all think about. Churches should be thinking about. How many people murdered? Scott gets into this, by the way. He gets in this interview. How many people were murdered by the medical industrial complex? How many were murdered? Protected by the legal system. And see, at the heart of all of it There's no righteousness in the land. There's no righteousness. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. We are, not Jim Jordan, not Donald Trump, not government. We are the salt of the earth. And yet we're not even coached or exhorted or encouraged to be that. They told us that if you are the salt, you're judgmental and hateful and bigoted. We're not sugar of the earth. We're salt. It stings. People don't like it. So we sit back and we vote Republican. And we get phony Republicans making our laws, making our rules. MAGA's the answer. Yeah, make America great again. Church won't even get involved in politics. Ask your pastor who he voted for. Probably won't even tell you. Huh? What? Yeah, he probably won't even tell you. I want to know who my pastor voted for. You know why? Do I know whether I got to get the hell out of there or not? If he and I didn't vote the same way, one of us has got a problem. Go on in, Jack.
Yeah, Coach, it's what grace died of is apathy.
Our grace apathy. Died of apathy. Boom. She died of apathy.
You hit part of what you said this morning about guilty or not guilty. It's so true. There's no such thing. And we see it over and over and over. We conflate terms, and it gets all messed up. And then we don't understand, and we just say, oh, well, that's all I can do. We conflate so many terms. What happens in that courthouse? What happens in that courtroom was civil rules of procedure.
Amen.
Not law, morality, not God, civil rules of procedure. And when you talk about a jury of your peers, you know what? I've been there. And it's really not a jury of my peers. It's a jury of peers of themselves. Yep. And when the one guy that wanted to acquit me looked around, he was going to be ridiculed by his peers. And that's what makes the difference.
Yes, sir.
We've got
yes, sir.
All messed up because we are apathetic.
Folks, I don't know if you know this or not, and you're going to think crazy, but you can go check it when we get done. Did you know that the word testimony comes from the, I don't know whether it be Old English, Middle Age, whatever, the idea that when you got into the witness stand, you put your testicles on the line. Testicles, testimony, meaning that if you were caught lying, you suffered the same fate as the person you were testifying against. You understand that? People don't think anything to lie anymore. They're not afraid to lie. We see it all the time. Lying under oath, lying under oath, right? Has anything ever done about it? How many doctors lied under oath? How many hospitals, how many lawyers lied under oath? That their testicles, got their testicles in their hand, that if they lie, it squeezes. No Christ in, what was that old thing in that movie? So, George Burton's God, I can't remember. He got on the witness stand, raised his hand, said, so help me, you swear the testimony, about to give you the truth, whole truth, so nothing but the truth, so help you, God. No, it's not even that anymore. So help me. So help me. RJ.
Yeah, I wonder who might be able to go a little bit in depth on what, remember in September, October, they had that COVID planning event 201, and they had all these hospitals establishing protocols for a mass event, right? And in the discovery portion of this legal process, did their lawyers even look into that? Did they uncover what was going on? Where do they get these protocols?
Well, Eileen, are you out there? Can you tell somebody out there, as an attorney, can tell us where these protocols come from? Why? What is acceptable in trial? What isn't acceptable? And what were? By the way, I didn't see, but what were the jury instructions from the judge? What did the judge tell the people they could consider? You can't consider this, and you can consider this, and you can't go down. That jury instructions a lot of times change the entire case. We don't have a justice system anymore. We don't. RJ, did you just finish up, RJ? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alan, come on in. You there, Alan Zeifer?
Going back to the medical field, Coach. When I went up there to D.C. and I seen Mercury up there in our Congress building, high and lifted up, and he's over the medical field and the economy. That's who's running things. Satan is running things.
Alan, we can't.
That's who's represented.
We can't even get the medical system to declare a human being at the moment of conception. We can't get him to declare that.
Oh, yeah. Now, when I seen all that, Coach, it all fell into perspective for me that we're definitely in trouble medical-wise. We can't trust nothing they do, and it's a sad situation. Anybody that's underneath that seal, that caduce, the two snakes on the staff, anybody that sits up under that, they're right up underneath Satan's directive, no matter what. That's who they're covered by, Satan himself.
Amen. Amen. Let me get an attorney in here. What do you think, Eileen? What are you thinking up there in Michigan?
Well, first of all, and I've known Scott for a long time, and had him on my show, and the owner of my station, of my media company, he's... is an insurance salesman, and he represents Blue Cross and Blue Shield, is the number one provider. So that's number one. We don't know how deep the connections go. Ascension is the largest medical complex, hospital complex in the country, if not the world. So we have to remember that. And all these hospitals now are coming together and becoming, you know, huge conglomerates everywhere. So that's number one. But number two, you have to remember, you know, our phrase, lawyers practice law and doctors practice medicine. And who do you want practicing on you?
Wow.
I don't go to doctors. Haven't been to, when I got married, my husband being a doctor, veterinarian, said, could you please go to the doctor? I hadn't been to one in 14 years. I said, listen, I'm not going to go to the doctor. What are they going to tell me? And I don't believe anything they say because I sue doctors. I don't go to them. So, but then, you know, now 18 years, your body, God gave us a body that can heal almost anything. It's the mind we have to convince. And I, you know, Scott Scher is right on. God, what they meant for evil, God will use for good. And it's just got to stay the course. And
let justice roll down like a mighty river, it says, right?
Amen, brother.
Takes Thank a while you. For it Thank to get you. Down there. Takes it.
Boom, Eileen. Good job.
So you have to ask yourself how 11 jurors, or however many it would be, could sit there, listen to that testimony, and say they didn't do anything wrong. That's what they said, right? They murdered her. The evidence was overwhelming. Now, I didn't listen to all the trial like you guys did, but yes or no, wasn't their argument that they murdered her with the parents' permission? Wasn't that their argument, Paul? Wasn't it really their argument? Yeah, we murdered her, but the mom and dad said it was okay to do it. Well, at the end of the day, wasn't that their argument? What a sick, sick country we're in.
Do you want me to answer that, Coach?
Well, what do you think, Paul?
Well, the hospital is the one that
Except the policies or whatever, yeah.
Right, but I want you to think about this. It is driven by the $2.1 trillion, right? So $2.1 trillion, and then they gave all the hospitals immunity. This was well over 15 years ago. This was planned way ahead of time, Coach. Yeah. So the standard of care is what they're talking about. The standard of care in Boston, the mecca of medicine, is different than the standard of care in Maine, right? It's because it's based on what we have here, right?
Right.
And be honest with you, we have a lot of damn good doctors here, but they're cowards, okay? They're not willing to put it on the line.
Yep.
So the standard of care, for instance, when I was in jail, was you wouldn't treat a dog like that, okay? All right. So there's no real standard of care other than that in what they can offer you. And I'm telling you, man, it's going to come to the roost, Coach. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning.
Paul, do you know, does a lawyer out there, anybody know out there, can this be appealed?
Oh, can yes.
It can be appealed. So it's not over.
It's not over.
Except a lot of people made a lot of money, didn't they, Paul?
The root of all evil, Coach.
A lot of people made a lot of money. Johnny, be good.
Yeah, I dare I say that I think that the verdict was in before the jury even started. I'm sorry to say that, but the magnitude of which the ramification for being guilty on this one, can you imagine?
Floodgates that would open, huh?
They can't allow it. But Dr. Paul, I hope you're right that they do appeal it and that they take it and continue to fight. God is the only just one in the end of this. But I'm just speaking my mind. I really do. I think it was over before it even started.
I think we need a clear clarification constitutionally for what determines a peer. Until we figure that out. Hey, folks, you could put me into a group of sex offenders, child molesters, and they could all come to the verdict that it's okay. That'd be their peers would say, yeah, we think child sex is good. That's certainly not what it meant, because there was a time when we were a Christian nation and we went by Christian principles. Randy.
Coach, I see the silver lining on the wall. I see this as a we maybe didn't win today, but we're going to win tomorrow.
It's not over.
This is what I say, Coach. If you notice what another case, I'll bring this up. I think this is the direction we're moving. It may not be fast like we want, but we're moving. The institutions are rotten, Coach. We know that. Everyone should know that. And until we get out and redo them or get out from under them, we have to eat rot. We have to live in injustice. So, but here's what's coming, Coach. Judge Thomas, Clarence Thomas, one of the Supreme Court justices, this is his opinion. And when they overturned or they ruled with a case, this was just recently, with the case in Tennessee that upheld the state's rights, that said we will not be fund any kind of transgender medical practice. Okay.
Basically. Yes, they did. That's right.
Okay. So all the red states are moving toward this. The blue they're still going to go for the transgender and the queer perverted agenda. We can't do anything about them. But Coach, what Thomas wrote, here's what he wrote, Coach. Now listen to these words. Courts should not assume that self-proclaimed experts are correct.
Boom. Say that again.
Coach,
Clarence Thomas said we should not assume that self-proclaimed experts are truth. Go ahead.
Okay, Coach. See what's coming, Coach? That's a 6-3 ruling, okay? Now, you think, well, Randy, what's that have to do with it? Look, that's the trend. That's the direction we're moving. When they did the Chevron case and they told all the three-letter agencies, you have no authority, you have no jurisdiction to make law, to make mandatory mandates. This is where we're going, Coach. We're getting back to common sense. And people, look, this probably, I hope this goes to the Supreme Court. They'll turn it over, Coach.
Yeah.
So I'm not putting my faith in the Supreme Court. I'm just saying, Coach, the institutions are rotten. People are waking up to that. Now all we need to do is the people to stand up and keep pushing this. It's going to turn. It might take a few years, but you have to stay the course.
Yep. Yeah, we didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. Self-proclaimed experts. Fauci. Think what Fauci did to us. Unbelievable, huh? Self-proclaimed expert. Fauci. Mark Trump.
Coach. Sorry, it took me a minute to get to the button. But have you thought of why courts would do this, even though they know it's wrong? So what would the future case be based on? Precedents.
Right.
So they're establishing precedents, Coach. Otherwise, the floodgates will open with everyone else.
Mm.
Think of what that would mean.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to get, that makes it bigger than this one case. That makes it a nationwide decision not to let this one go through. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Because it's big. It's bigger than this one case, because if they establish precedents, how long does it take to overturn precedents?
Boy, forever.
Right? Yep. This is the first one, and this is why I think it happened this way, okay?
This is the same medical system that will not determine when life begins. They know when death begins, don't they? Don't they know when death begins? Doesn't a doctor come into the room and determine that person dead? But we can't determine when life begins? Well, of course we can. Why won't we? It's political in nature. It's political in nature. We all know. We got grandbaby number 11 on the way. That little heart's beating in there. We know there's a baby in there. Heart's beating. Universal sign for life. Heart's beating. Universal sign for death. Stop the heartbeat. It ain't hard. Yet the medical system will not answer that very basic of all medicine. Your heartbeat determines life. Universally. Your heart stops, you're dead. It's a mockery, folks. It's a mockery to see what's become of it. Vinny, then Joe.
Oh, boy. I'm going to archive this video on my channel. I just want you to know. And I haven't watched it yet, but it's clear that the judge made instruction to the jury two things. To ignore the falsely applied DNR order, and to ignore the fact that they poisoned her to death. They can't get around it. That was the protocol. They can't get around it. So okay. I don't understand what this jury did unless they were instructed to ignore those two facts.
That's what I said. The instructions, there's a fly in the ointment, if you know what I'm talking about. Somewhere there's a fly in the ointment. Folks, this could have been a verdict. The verdict could have been, I don't know, it could have been, it's 10-2. It had to be 10-2 to win. It could have been 9-3. We don't know, right? We don't know. Joe Allen.
A couple of questions. Mark hit on one of them that I was going to talk about presidents. But the other one is how strong is his family? Are they willing to go all the way on this? And is there going to be a civil suit as well? Because I've seen people that go all the way, families like this, pretty much destroys the faith of the family.
Well, not going to do it in this family. You know this.
Yeah,
Scott Shar's son, he lost his son as well.
He's not alone. Right.
Huh? You understand this?
You know, there's a lot of things that's happened to this family, all right? And that's how can they go the distance with this?
So, folks, listen. If I had injected Grace with fentanyl, would that be legal? Is it only a crime if it's an illegal drug? So a doctor can inject a legal drug. It's only the illegal ones that are violation of the law. Mary Beth.
I just want to pray for a minute, okay? Yeah. We just pray that the SCOTUS will bring this case before the SCOTUS and that they will do it quickly, Lord. And I declare this, that the Sharas will win. And then that would open the floodgates of other cases, Lord. And I just pray that the Sharas, that you give them the strength to go all the way, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would open people's eyes to what brain dead really is, because brain dead is not really brain dead. You're not dead until your heart stops beating. And that's been a lie that we've been told right straight from the pits of hell, Lord. And we just pray that righteousness and justice in these cases, Lord, the Shara family, you know. Anyway, please, Lord, we just ask you in the name of Jesus that you would accomplish this, because we are overcomers because of what Christ did there on Calvary with those nails pounded through his hands. And Lord, we just, Lord, what does legal really mean? You know, in our country, legal is not legal. Legal is illegal, where good becomes bad and sugar becomes salt and, you know, sweet for bitter. And Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus that we would go, that someone would go there and stake that courthouse out and declare victory, Lord, victory over this case, because these people are obviously and visibly sad, you know. So anyway, in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Jeff Nares. Come on in, Jeff. We lost him. Brett.
Hey, Coach. I just want to say thank you again. You're one of the only shows in America that brings these tough topics up. And getting to know Scott Shara last year in person in Maine, and then following this, he'll take it all the way. I've learned so much from you, Coach. I've learned so much from Scott, so many people in this huddle. And don't forget, friends, near Venice, Florida, Coach Dave's going to be speaking this weekend. He'll be one of the only speakers that actually encourages people to run a play.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Brett.
Thanks, Brett.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Where am I? Rochelle.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, morning. Team. I'm dropping in the chat an inquiry I did, an AI inquiry on what's going on with the PREP Act. See, the thing is, there are efforts to pressure, RFK to repeal or alter the PREP Act. And he can do that. All he has to, he can do it. He's like, doesn't have to deal with Congress or anything. Anyway, the PREP Act is what grants this broad immunity from liability to the manufacturers and the administrators of medical countermeasures, not just vaccines. So during a public health emergency, like the case of Grace and what happened with her, everything was justified because it's during a public health emergency, and these can all be called medical countermeasures. And if we could just... I'm not saying to get rude, but if all of us, if we all stood up and pressured RFK to, what he did was extend this portion of the PREP Act. We're not asking for lawsuits. I mean, that can be another day. This is not going to help anybody when it comes to lawsuits, but it will reverse the immunity that they have. And then anybody who gets a shot from here on out who gets harmed, they can actually sue the doctor, sue the companies, all of that, which is what we need. And you know what will happen? They will quit putting these poisons into our children's arms. They'll quit pressuring us. If you want to work here, you have to get the stupid jab. All the schools would not have to, you wouldn't have to jump through hoops to get your children, healthy kids to not have to get all these vaccines to attend school.
Folks, if you want to know, I'm out of time. If you want to know who's in control, look who's making the rules. Look what's going on. Would you ever go to a doctor if you knew if he mistreated you, there was going to be no consequence? And that's the system that we have Man, oh man, let justice roll down like a mighty river, Lord. Jesus' name. See you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend.